Welcome back. You have reached the Khyber Pass podcast, a weekly exploration conducted by Paul Metzger with a weekly guest, musician, improviser that has performed at the Khyber Pass Cafe at our Thursday night improviser avant-garde series. Where we present a platform, create opportunity for those interested to bear witness to a musical form off the beaten track. This week's guest is Matt Blair, keyboard, Fender Rhodes piano, specifically, augmented by signal processing and laptop interface. In the middle days of July, where our vocabulary embraces terms like swelter, broil, where scientific terms like dew point become interesting and important. As always, the podcast is brought to you by the Khyber Pass Cafe, featuring outstanding cuisine from Afghanistan, the Sherzad family, winning this year's Best Middle Eastern Restaurant in the Twin Cities. I'll play a short passage from Matt Blair's performance and follow it with the conversation we had, an interview of sorts. Please stand by. Thank you. Welcome, Matt Blair.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, solid. And so you are a keyboard.
Yeah.
And so how do you, like some people, like I know a couple people that that's their thing, mm-hmm. and they can get in different kind of moods about what their thing is. Like keyboard or piano or keys or stuff, like certain things are offensive. And where are you at with that?
The only thing that I sometimes get a little annoyed at is keys player, mm-hmm. but that's just a terminology thing.
Nothing yeah, I know, actually. But that's important.
Yeah. But keyboard, piano, it's all,
okay.
all good. And mm-hmm. especially lately, they're sort of becoming equal parts of my world. Mm-hmm. maybe even more heavily on the keyboard side, mm-hmm. just 'cause my apartment, I don't have a piano.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing I have, really. This is my road, so...
So as far as piano and then Fender Rhodes,
yeah,
but not, like, synthesizer or that type of thing? Or
I've only very slightly gotten into that kind of thing. Not...
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's such a huge world to dive into.
Yeah.
And... I'm definitely interested
mm-hmm.
in exploring it, but it's not something that I've done too much of. It's mostly been Fender Rhodes
yeah.
through some guitar pedals and
yeah.
Yeah, sort of the caveman style of electronics.
Yeah. yeah. Well, the Fender Rhodes, I'm such a huge fan of.
Yeah.
That sound and the mechanics of it, and I've restored one and helped maintain this one, and
yeah.
I love... how it's tuned.
Yeah.
That's insanity. And
yeah, yeah.
that it's just so mechanical.
Yeah.
That I'm real taken with it as just an entity.
Mm-hmm.
But then the sound of it. Come on.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And it can be overdriven and create a sound that is just so powerful and cuts through like a, it's like an ice pick, just like going.
I totally. Mean,
yeah.
yeah.
And, yeah, so I'm real excited to hear what you're doing on Rhodes and what kind of sounds you're gonna, pull out of it, because I think it's pretty versatile.
Yeah. It's been really fun for me to explore, some of the natural sounds, I guess, outside of just the keyboard, mm-hmm. but some of the sounds that the instrument itself can make. And in that way, it's sort of really turned into this, like, electroacoustic instrument for me.
Yeah.
Which has been really exciting to figure out different ways to process and experiment with, and it's seemingly endless, possibilities
yeah.
to go into.
The one that I have at home I bypassed all the amp and preamp stage kind of stuff that's in it, and I'm just going right off the pickup line. And it's so direct and raw sounding, and like what you're saying, like there are a lot of artifacts that you can focus on.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's crazy for it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
feel really lucky to kind of stumbled upon this instrument. It's something I've always loved and always loved to listen to, for the most part. But there was a Fender Rhodes laying around in the basement of the school I went to. No one had used it in years, and it was a little bit beat up and not in super great shape. But they let me take it and fix it up a little bit, and but even some of the things that are a little bit beaten up about it and maybe not quite right are, I just think it adds so much to the character of the instrument itself.
I could go on and just have it be like a Fender Rhodes interview because I think they're so amazing.
Yeah, me too.
But you mentioned school. And so you went in Wisconsin somewhere, I think I read, like Lawrence
Lawrence University.
And what led you to go there? How did that be? Are you from Wisconsin, or are you...
Yeah, I'm from Madison originally.
All right.
And my brother actually went to Lawrence. So I had seen, visited there and been there quite a bit.
Where is it located?
Appleton.
Okay.
And I originally, right after high school, didn't go straight there. I went to a small school in Iowa, Luther College. But then the jazz piano professor at Lawrence, Bill Carruthers, someone who I was really looking up to, and I still look up to, and his music had a huge impact on me, especially in that point in my life, and it led me there.
And he was at Lawrence, so then that became like a magnet.
Definitely, yeah.
But what about Luther then? Were you in a music program there and just working with it?
Not really. I think Luther was, I was taking piano lessons, classical piano, and it was, and I was involved in like the jazz big band and and stuff, but I wasn't a music major or anything like that. But it was a good time for me to kind of see, especially with the classical piano lessons. It made me realize how much work has to go into pursuing music, and I really I think I had a shift while I was there where all of a sudden things became a little bit more in focus for me, and just wanted to keep pursuing playing piano and writing music and things like that. But it wasn't exactly the right environment for those things there, so which is why I left.
You kicked it over there, and so then you have a BFA from Lawrence, or how does that work?
It's a Bachelor of Music. It's a conservatory there. So yeah, I was really lucky. I would say 75% of my time was devoted to music while I was there.
God damn.
Yeah, and I should also mention Matt Turner is a great cellist and piano player who teaches at Lawrence, and he was the one who pushed me even further into opening up my ears and mind to different kinds of music. And, so he really became an important person and teacher in my life.
So you wanted to then become more focused and dedicated to piano and music. So what was your focus then? Was it like the classical repertoire and like developing that?
It was mostly focused on jazz, straight ahead jazz, and classical repertoire to help build technique and stuff like that, but I wasn't trying to be like a concert classical pianist or something.
And you weren't super feeling that as a musical form that...
Yeah, not so much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it and learned a lot about the instrument itself through mm-hmm. lessons, yeah. classical lessons, but not so much as a tool for expression or something, mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. me anyway.
And the jazz program there, you're saying, was pretty inside, pretty straight ahead, or was it...
It was pretty inside. I think there is a big emphasis on learning bebop and the tradition. Mm-hmm. But it was also... Lawrence is a pretty small school, so I think there is a lot of room for me to explore other things.
Right. And
there's a improvisation group there mm-hmm. that's just focused on free improvisation that Matt Turner leads, and every term there would be a different emphasis for the concert. You know, one term we did all Sun Ra music.
Okay.
Another term it was improvising a film score to silent film.
Sure.
Other times just straight up free improvisation.
Okay.
So that was really great to be part of that for a while.
And how large an ensemble is that then? Because that can,
it would fluctuate.
Get squirrely, man.
Yeah,
you can get a lot of cats. It can.
Yeah, I think the largest it was maybe 30 people.
Oh, I'm out, man. That is way too many for me.
Yeah, and luckily
no
it was
I could
broken
in that.
It was broken down into smaller groups.
Yeah.
So there was never really a time where more than maybe 6 people would play.
Okay.
Which is good, yeah, because it's like, it just goes...
Yeah. The more, not the merrier.
Right.
The more, the less merry.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you would keep it to 6 or fewer.
Yeah.
And now when you're in that, okay, and I'm interested in that thing because you're doing free improvisation mm-hmm. At a university. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, how does that go? How are you taught? You know what I mean? Are there... How would it be different than if you're just sitting... with your cats, you know, is it very led and you get like critiqued and just explain like what that scene is like.
I think for the most part it was really positive environment to learn more about improvising. It wasn't the way Matt led it was focusing mostly on like listening and being confident enough in what you're doing to stick to an idea, but also being aware of what else is happening around you. Mm-hmm. So it was never like, oh, what you guys just did totally sucked.
Okay.
It's like, you know, this thing happened, and maybe if we were to do it, you know, if we were to do that again, so-and-so should have followed that, or you should have stuck with what you're doing, shouldn't have jumped away so quickly. And
mm-hmm.
So I think it was never like, this is how you improvise, you know, mm-hmm. this is like the right way, wrong mm-hmm. way, but it was more just like trying to get everyone to listen more, uh-huh. think outside of the way they have been taught to play their instruments,
sure.
extended techniques and things.
How's
like that.
How's that go for you, man? Because I've thought about that, and I play with some keyboard piano. A lot of free improvisation utilizes like extended technique
right.
and unorthodox methods.
Yeah.
But the piano, correct me if I'm wrong, but unless you're getting into prepared
right.
kind of thing where you're throwing shit inside and being like that, but it's kind of just does its thing. I mean, it's a machine.
Yeah, definitely.
And so without being able to but it's just less welcoming to extended approaches.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
I guess I would have to say that the way I deal with it is by playing the mm-hmm. Rhodes.
I see.
And treating
yeah.
that as a way to really explore what the extended techniques could be.
Because that is built for it, man, I swear. Yeah. I mean, I understand its history as a pretty straightforward
right.
rock machine,
yeah.
you know, and soul machine, but man.
There's, yeah, I mean, there's so much you could do, and that's kind of what sparked such a love for the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Is just realizing, like, oh, this is, well, there's, I mean, there are a lot of things that the piano can do, especially when you get into prepared stuff.
Sure.
But I didn't really have the means or the time to
sure.
do that, and this being able to look at the roads and see, like, okay, how can I mask this instrument? How can I change what
yeah.
people's perception is, or my mm-hmm. perception of it is,
mm-hmm.
Was kind of the thing that, you know, fulfilled my desire to all learn right. some extended techniques all for right, the instrument.
Man.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that makes sense to me. Because obviously, there's so much you can do with. You know, harmonics and dynamics and what the piano is mm-hmm. great at.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, but if you're playing with some cats that are getting outside,
mm-hmm.
like just as far as the tone,
right.
you know,
right.
It makes sense to me to want to maybe explore other things.
Yeah.
That you already, yeah, so you already have moves, and then you can start to really push it and
yeah.
smack it around.
Right, yeah. And I like the freedom of that. I guess I don't have to be as careful
mm-hmm.
as with maybe preparing a grand piano or acoustic piano or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
And I think some of the, you know, unless you're really getting into making your own preparations or
mm-hmm.
you have like a serious concept
mm-hmm.
with that, sometimes some of the extended techniques on the piano just are almost like tropes
yeah.
in a way. You know, mm-hmm. it's hard to break out of the classic things everyone does, and I mean, they're good, and people use them really well. But for the roads, it felt a lot more open to. Kind of bring my personality to it and
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, and especially you can get there without effect processing. You know, there's
yeah.
so much in it. So, yeah, I'm real excited to hear where you get to. And I did have another question. I wanted
yeah.
that you also teach or have taught.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, my day job is teaching piano lessons in
okay.
the city.
All right. And then, so what is, do you have you had students, or what would you do with a student that's coming to you that wants to start improvisation as something that they're unsure of even what it kind of is?
Yeah.
That moment for someone, and let's say they're taking lessons off you, and then have you had that, or what would
you know,
do with that?
I haven't had anyone who's really come to me to like study improvising. I teach
mm-hmm.
mostly little kids,
mm-hmm.
And the great thing about them is that they're just down to make something up. Like
mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot easier to work with them on improvising or even composing some stuff, and
yeah.
I try and have most of my students do that, because I think from a young age, if people can see the piano as like a creative instrument,
yeah.
not just a chore that their parents are making them do, it can be, you know, maybe a little bit more rewarding in the future.
Yeah, and I can totally dig that approach, man.
Yeah,
kids are great.
Yeah,
and if you take away like the weirdness of what a piano is a little bit, and just let them.
Yeah,
get to it. Yeah, I love that.
And they, I mean, yeah, it's awesome. I think
mm-hmm.
I have students who will come up with these like very clear storyline trajectories that
mm-hmm.
are, you know, what's influencing what they're improvising.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And so then, do you do that through a school, or is that?
Yeah. There's a I teach through two schools. Brighter Minds Music is the one in, and one where I drive out into the suburbs called All Things Music.
So I've known people that are involved in that realm.
Yeah.
And the St. Paul Conservatory of Music that just moved pretty near here.
Yeah.
And my wife worked down there and stuff, and so I did some time down around that world, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I really think it can be cool.
It can, yeah. It can be super rewarding, and especially, I mean, usually when it's maybe a little bit more of a drag is when you can tell the kids' parents are just making them be there and they have no interest. But that's also a good opportunity to show them what, you know, piano doesn't just have to be this, like, chore you go to, you get your assignment, you go home, you practice, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it can be great. And it's nice to get to work with the same group of kids over, hopefully, more than a year, more than 6 months if they stick with it, just to see how they grow. And
that's a cool place to be for you, I would assume.
Yeah.
I would dig that.
I didn't think I would like teaching kids too much, but I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky with the students I've had. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, I believe it. And then just, you know, kind of wrap up of what we can expect tonight from your performance. What do you intend to get to?
Yeah. I've recently been diving a little bit more into affecting the tone of the roads through pedals, and now bringing in some electronics through my laptop into it. And so I think tonight we'll be exploring some zones that I've been working on that maybe highlight some different aspects of the instrument in a way that maybe if you were closing your eyes, you wouldn't know it was a Rhodes.
Okay. What would you think it was?
It could be a number of things. It could be noise. It could be bells, you know, organ, synthesizer,
All right.
Yeah.
And so when you approach like a solo performance like tonight, so you have, from where you're at right now in your explorations and finding areas, is that how you kind of map out how the evening would go? Like, you know, there are certain zones that you've been interested in lately, and then you'll just, or is it more developed than that? Do you have like more of a roadmap, or how do you go?
My process has changed. It's changed a bit over the last couple of years because I've really been trying to focus a lot on solo playing, and something I've been really inspired by. Especially your sets that I've seen have blown me away.
Well, let's not bring me.
Yeah,
here.
Sorry. I just have to say.
Okay. Well, I love the solo endeavor. And it's completely different. It's its own beast.
Yeah.
And when people decide to hit it, because it's an area I like to, you know, travel in, I just know what's involved. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It's a heavy game.
Yeah, and I love it. Yeah, it's really rewarding. But yeah, I think, you know, it's changed from having full-fledged compositions that I play to not having any plan. And now it's a little bit in the middle where I have, like, some core ideas that aren't too strict, but I kind of want to structure everything around. And the way they may happen can be totally different.
Yeah.
Or what might happen could be totally different. That's part of the beauty of using some of these electronics. Yeah. Electronics is there, you know, anything could happen. They could all turn off.
Well, I'm real interested to hear what you're going to do, and thanks for bringing your creativity to the Khyber and share it with everyone here. And I'm looking forward, and have a good show.
Yeah, thank you. It's great.
You're welcome.
I've always loved coming here to hear music, and cool, it's great to play.
All right, Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you.
From the depths, we resurface. I'd like to thank this week's guest, Matt Blair. Sharing some of what's involved in his process, his development as an improviser. I'm your host, Paul Metzger, bringing you a different musician, improviser each week, as we examine together what's involved in this pursuit, the uncharted waters. As always, the podcast is brought to you by the Khyber Pass Cafe, winner of the 2019 Best Middle Eastern Restaurant in the Twin Cities. That's all we have for this week. I hope you can return. Find out what we have on offer in future podcasts, conversations. Thank you for listening.